Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central. Hope you're having a great Thursday. We've got college football tonight, the NFL, and the National League Championship Series game to go along with your NHL and NBA. It's just a wonderful time of year for sports. Hard for me to keep up with everything. I don't know, we'll be breaking down my Little League games coming up pretty soon. Got a game tonight at 6:30 Eastern, big game in my household. Here are our headlines here as we begin Thursday's show, hour number two. We've got Denver and Cleveland tonight. The Browns are still favored, but only by a point and a half over the Broncos. No Baker Mayfield tonight. No Nick Chubb for Cleveland. In the NBA, we've got three games. Mavs, Hawks, Heat, Clippers starts tonight in the league. Of course, here in South Florida, everyone's very excited to see if the Miami Heat can get to that next level with Kyle Lowry. So we'll be talking about that here on the show tomorrow. Max Fried can bring the Dodgers a National League pennant for the first time in 22 years. The Dodgers are up against it. They're kind of feeling like if they win tonight, they have a great shot because they got Bueller and Scherzer in 6 and 7. But can the Dodgers squeak this one out tonight to get to that point and get back to Atlanta? Also, four games tonight in college football, 10 games tonight in the NHL. So our buddy George Kurtz will be very busy. Will we be busy watching this NFL game tonight? Davis is sort of 50-50. I'll probably tune in a little bit. Who knows? If Von Miller has anything to say about it, it's going to be a game where he sacks the quarterback several times and punishes the Cleveland Browns, in his words.
It's on me. I don't play in, all type of, games. And I don't perform well in all type of games, and I got to play well in this game. I will play well in this game. I'm going to go off. It's going to be a good game for me. I don't want to, guarantee a win, for my, for my teammates. But I guarantee I don't want to put the pressure on those guys this time. I put the pressure on me, and I'm going to have a great game. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play well, get a couple of sacks. And, if I can do that, then we will win. If you look at, this season, the first three games, I had a couple of sacks and we won those games. And these last three games, I didn't do as much. So, if I can play well and I can get sacks and I can find a way, to disrupt the game, we'll win. So the pressure's on me to play well. I will play well. I don't know who the tackle is and I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him and the other guy too on the other side. And I'm going to play extremely well and I'm going to make plays for my team. And, I'm going to set this up to win this game for sure.
What do you think about?
All right, Davis. So he's Von Miller's laid it down there. He's going to kill the other guy on the other side of the field for the Cleveland Browns. He may have to. I mean, Denver's defense is actually okay. I don't know what happened against the Raiders, but Denver's defense is probably going to have to carry them at some point because, once the games start getting close, me and my love for Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio gets back into that shell. Give it to Javonte. Give it to Melvin Gordon. Dump it off to Javonte. Let's just not throw the ball the rest of the game. Von Miller's probably going to have to come up big today. And look, Case Keenum's been in some big games too. So look, in the end, it is a toss-up game, and the line indicates that.
Yeah, it is definitely a toss-up game, and I think your analysis is correct that that Fangio, he's definitely not going to want to be aggressive here, and very rarely would ever want to be aggressive. I just feel bummed out thinking about the Denver Broncos because the offense could have been so good, right? Judy doesn't get banged up. Hamler doesn't get banged up. They don't even have Albert Okwuegbunam. He's on the short-term IR. I mean, you know, a month ago, they had all of these guys that, that you know, at least I was really excited about. Teddy was first in the NFL in EPA per play at the quarterback position. Now, granted, much like the Carolina Panthers, they had not played anybody, but man, the injuries, like I'm not a fan of all of the injuries in fantasy football. It's been a real brutal, and the Broncos have been one team that's really been sapped by them.
Yeah, I mean, honestly though, you really think that the Broncos' record would be any different if they had Judy, Hamler, and the two key defensive guys that they have? I don't believe that, man. I just don't think so. They didn't have Sutton all last season, and I was told because they're going to have him this year that was going to change things. And Sutton's great, but they don't attack. Davis, they only attack when they're down. If the game is close, they do not attack.
Yeah, I actually do think their record would be different had all of those guys not been banged up. I mean, I can't claim to be an expert on the defensive players, but one of the number one things we do know in terms of like analytics for the NFL is the relationship between wide receivers and quarterback performance. You know, it's just been demonstrated time and time again that wide receivers actually have a much larger impact on quarterback performance than we ever thought, right? I mean, great example, Tom Brady, his last year in New England, everyone thinks guys is completely washed and banged up, right? Comes back, breaks all these records in Tampa Bay. Kirk Cousins fails, you know, flames out his final year for the Washington football team, goes to Minnesota with Diggs and Thielen and Kyle Rudolph before he fell off a cliff, you know, is like third in the NFL in YPA. So like, I think they would be a lot better if you know, Tim Patrick wasn't their second wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't see it the same way. But I am hopeful, and I don't root for anybody to lose their job, but I am hopeful with this talent that they have assembled in Denver that potentially they can have somebody come in there, not named Shermer, and take over the offense next season, get better. I like some of the – there's no question between Judy – and Sutton, Javonte Williams.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
A good offensive line, wonderful home field advantage, especially in the second half of games. I'm hopeful for Denver. I'll completely change my opinion on them next year if they change over some of the coaching staff. And I think they will. All right, we got to take a quick timeout here on the show. Three games in the NBA tonight. We'll bring Brett back in, get a lineup for you. So stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We've got several games tonight in the NBA to discuss, and so we're going to get into them in just a minute. Perhaps one of the more interesting games, though, tonight is Dallas Mavericks, Atlanta Hawks. Of course, most of the fans in Atlanta are going to be focused in on the National League Championship Series, but perhaps they'll bring their smartphone and watch the Hawks play. Hawks are going to be probably really good this year, I would guess. They go up against Dallas. The line is Atlanta minus 2.5. Jason Kidd is now the head coach of the Mavericks, and he gives us a preview as to what we can expect tonight.
They're a talented young team that puts a lot of pressure on your defense. And then on the defensive end, you got to take care of the ball. So we've talked about those things. Nate is a great coach. He's always been a great coach in this league. And so they had a great run in the playoffs. And they're a hungry young team. They want to get better. So this is a great, great matchup of two young teams trying to get better.
All right, so the three of us will break this down tonight. Three-game slate in the NBA. Of course, very excited to see how Jason Kidd does in Dallas for sure. But and we'll start here with Davis. Davis, there's no question in terms of what I am looking for tonight. I am looking for the Miami Heat and Kyle Lowry making his debut here in South Florida, and they are up against it playing against the Bucks. If I'm not mistaken, Davis, I think I did see, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Drew Holiday was not playing tonight for Milwaukee. I think I saw that. I'm not sure. But if that's the case, definitely advantage Heat I got going into this game tonight. What do you think about these three games in particular? And then Brett will bring in and we'll talk about DFS.
Yeah, you are correct. So we are not going to see any Drew Holiday tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. So their point guard rotation, Chris Middleton is going to handle a lot of the ball. We'll see some George Hill in there. We might get a little bit of Grayson Allen handling the ball. But, you know, they're not a particularly deep team. They also might, honestly, they might decide to let Giannis handle the ball a little bit and just play some big lineups. So we'll see some Pat Connaughton, Jordan Nwora, Giannis and Bobby Portis lineup. So, you know, you love to see some things like that happening. But yeah, I mean, it could end up being a big win tonight for your Miami. The thing I'm most excited to see from the Miami Heat is I want to see if all this offseason stuff about Tyler Herro is true. I want to see if it's actually true that he's been working on his game, that he added a bunch of muscle. Cause like we hear these things about guys after they have disappointing seasons, and given you know how good Tyler Herro was, which is crazy, it was only a year ago that we were there in the bubble, given how good he was a year ago, I'm hoping to see that he performs much better this season.
Yeah, my producer for my podcast, Swings and Mishes, his name is Jeremy Taché, also co-hosts that with me. He was the one who actually interviewed Tyler Herro. A lot of that stuff was taken out of context, by the way, Davis. If you go back and watch the entire interview, which no one ever does, but if you go back and you watch the entire interview, you'll hear some of the nuances that led to some of that discussion. Story for another day. Okay, Brett Levy, you're on the clock here. Your lineup tonight is going to include who, what, and where in this three-game slate. Set us up.
All right, Craig. Yeah, so we'll start off with the guards. I'm looking at the Atlanta and Dallas game, Trae Young versus Luka Doncic. I think you're going to want one of those two guys in your lineup. Trae Young, a little bit cheaper than Luka, so I went with Trae. I also wanted to make sure I had Steph Curry coming off his triple-double in LA. Now he's at home facing the Clippers. I want you two to be as happy as possible, so I'm betting on Tyler Herro for both Davis and Craig here. I just want my host to be happy tomorrow when we hop on the show. And then Reggie Jackson was great in the postseason last year, so I'm betting on him to keep that up. No Kawhi Leonard still, so he's going to need to be a primary scoring option for the Clippers if they want to stay competitive against Golden State tonight.
All right, so let's turn it back over to Davis. Davis, I know that you're playing all these slates. What do you think about some of these Brett selections tonight? Steph Curry, after one game, you know, pretty impressive. Golden State beating the Lakers in L.A. Boy, I mean, Trae Young, this could, I mean, last year was kind of the year anyway, but this could really be the jump off point. My guess is any pricing on FanDuel on Trae Young, would you say this could be the lowest it is all season if he has a great year? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing I do really like playing about FanDuel in general is that, you know, they do not tighten the salary constraints, you know, that much. That is something I really like about playing there. You can play lots of studs, but yes, Trae Young is going to get more expensive. Steph Curry, by the way, I think is going to get more expensive. You know, he looked really good in that opening night game against the Lakers. I think that lots of us got used to the NBA the last two seasons. We got used to a Western Conference where the Warriors were not dominant, where we, you know, we kind of got to think about them as an afterthought, but Klay Thompson is coming back. The bench guys that they added, you know, it looks like they have some bench guys who can kind of shoot for the very first time. And, you know, given the specific context of this slate with, you know, injuries for the Clippers, they're waiting for Kawhi Leonard to come back. We don't know exactly what the Clippers rotation is going to look like. No Jrue Holiday for the Milwaukee Bucks. You're going to be able to play lots of studs in this slate. I think probably you'll be out on FanDuel. You'll be able to play, you know, three of the most expensive players in most, if not all, of your lineup. So I like what Brett did with the backcourt here. And of course, very excited for my guy, Tyler Herro, to get it started tonight.
All right. Well, the bad news is that obviously Brett does not think the Heat's going to win tonight because he's stacked a lot of Bucks here as his big men here. He's got Giannis at forward. He's got Connaughton at forward. He's got John Collins of Atlanta. Now I know there's only three games. And Jordan Wara, I guess this is with Holiday out, you'd play him. And then Zubats for the Los Angeles Clippers, one of my favorite guys to watch an interview with. But Brett, you're obviously thinking Milwaukee wins tonight.
Well, they looked really good on opening night, and I think a lot of it is salary reasoning as well. Like Jordan Nwora priced pretty low in the 4,000s, Craig, so he's kind of a roster filler, a guy who I know is going to be out on the floor. I don't know how productive he'll be, but he'll get open threes, he'll get some shots, so sometimes you need some of these guys, so you can have a Giannis and a Trey and Steph Curry in your lineup. Pat Connaughton was unbelievable against the Brooklyn Nets. I almost don't think you can sit him tonight. You got to, like, ride the hot hand while it's hot. And he was arguably the most important Buck in the opening night. John Collins is a personal guy. Like, I just love John Collins. I'm a big believer. I like the way he plays the game. I think he can shoot a little bit. He obviously is a great athlete, plays above the rim. And Zubac will get a lot of minutes at center for the Clippers tonight. No Serge Ibaka. And I don't really love the Clippers front court anyway so much. So Zubac's probably their primary scoring big tonight. And, you know, he's a center, so he'll get a few rebounds for me as well, Craig.
All right. Davis, what do you think? Going heavy Bucks here tonight with a little Hawks and Clippers mixed in.
Yeah, I mean, I think attacking the Clippers tonight is going to be a pretty solid move because we don't know really how they're going to distribute the minutes. We don't really know how they're going to distribute the scoring. I mean, they have lots of guys who are potentially good plays tonight. You know, Eric Bledsoe is on the roster. Serge Ibaka is not going to be playing. I think the Zubac play can be very sneaky because I don't know how many minutes they even want to give Isaiah Hartenstein. So Zubac could play 28, 32 minutes here, which is, you know, way above what his salary would expect. So I like what Brett did there in the front court.
All right, there you have it. Our daily fantasy NBA preview. We'll do another one tomorrow right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it could be the final game in the National League Championship Series. The Atlanta Braves have a 3-1 lead. They'll play this game in Los Angeles tonight around 8:30, 9 o'clock Eastern. And it could be our final time looking at the Dodgers. Imagine that in 2021.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Who with the Dodgers going down, not in the World Series, but in the NLCS. That's what they're on the doorstep of here tonight. We'll go through some pricing. Davis and I will each pick an MVP for the slot on FanDuel tonight. We'll do it next, so stay on the grid. Break.
Giving you...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. National League Championship Series Game 5 tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers, the overwhelming favorite to win the World Series, are on the brink of being knocked out tonight by Atlanta. Davis, it's been a really compelling series. I think, you know, 48 hours ago when they got back to LA and the Braves were up, it was like, oh, it's over. The Braves are going to go up 3-0. They were up big in that game. Cody Bellinger leads them back. The Dodgers win, and then everyone changed their opinion again. That's what's fun about these seven-game series. Like, oh, LA's going to win. They're going to come back. Now we're back on the other side again. The Braves lead this one 3-1. And before we get into the DFS action, I guess just the simple question has to be asked, does it just appear the Dodgers are out of steam at this point? You got Muncy hurt. You got Kershaw hurt. Now you got Turner hurt. Bellinger hasn't been himself all season. Bauer, who knows what's going on with that guy at this point. I don't know. LA still has a ton of talent, but I mean, I kind of feel like it's just not their year.
I also am starting to feel that way, right? You got Kershaw hurt. You have, you know, Trevor Bauer on the commissioner's exempt list for whatever is going on with him. You have Max Scherzer dealing with exhaustion. You have Max Muncy banged up, right? We have, just if you want to make it a season-long narrative, you have Cody Bellinger, who actually started to hit a little bit here in the postseason, but has mostly been bad. They have another injury last night with Justin Turner, so they're going to be playing Chris Taylor. I don't know how they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to stick Seager at third base. Don't know if they're going to stick Lux there, but someone's going to have to play third base tonight, and it'll mean that Chris Taylor gets bumped up in the batting order. So I think you're probably right, but it does seem strange to me that this team with this embarrassment of riches, is looking like they're going to be headed out early. And you know, I have no ill will towards the Braves. They have one of my favorite all-time players in baseball, Jock Peterson, on the team, hitting some dingers for them. So I have enjoyed seeing Jock Peterson get, and revenge game, right? It's been a little bit of revenge for Jock. The Dodgers let him go, kind of unceremoniously moved him to the Chicago Cubs, and I think Jock can probably look at some of the performances that they've gotten from Gavin Lux and AJ Pollock and say, I'm better than those guys, right? But I guess it's just weird that the Dodgers, of all teams, considering how many arms they had, have become a team doing the opener, then long relief guy, then bullpen game as like a core part of their strategy. Like, it's just odd.
Yeah, no, with all the money that they spent, you know, I guess another player that we could have seen is Dustin May. He got hurt early on in the season, and we didn't get a chance to see him. But that is strange for sure. It's also strange that Gavin Lux could be their best option in center field, Davis. Like, a team with as many major leaguers as you can find, like, that ended up being their best option in center field. But they're really up against it for sure. So, all right, let's look at the pricing. Maybe LA just, you know, comes out tonight like gangbusters and we head back to Atlanta for game 6. Anything is possible. Mookie Betts probably will have to do something tonight in order for this to go back to Atlanta. He's 9,500 tonight. Austin Riley is 9,000. Corey Seager, pretty good, but not the same postseason success as last year. That's for sure. 8,500. Ozzie Albies is 8,000. Freddie Freeman hit a homer yesterday. He's 7,500. We've got Trey Turner at 7,500. But, Davis, not listed here. Are you kidding me? Eddie Rosario? I mean, what in the world's going on with this guy? He has been the NLCS MVP, without a doubt. He's been one of those extra players the Braves got at the deadline, without a doubt. And I know that I'm kind of ruining our next graphic here, but if I'm setting a lineup tonight of any kind, I have got to find a way to put Eddie Rosario in this thing. He's been unstoppable.
Yes, he has been. He has been phenomenal, and that's kind of one of the cool things that you always love to see about the baseball playoffs, right? Like the guys who are, you know, Eddie Rosario has had a long Major League Baseball career. What, he's on like year 6 or 7 at this point in the major leagues, and he's had a fine career. never been a star, never really been a fantasy baseball star, but he is having his moment right now, right? So, you know, he was on the Twins for a while, gets traded this season, and he's having his moment. Eddie Rosario is getting introduced to lots of people who maybe they only watch postseason baseball, maybe they only watch NL baseball, so they didn't see him when he was playing for the Twins. That's definitely something that happens. You know, for me, probably the guys that I am going to focus on are going to be the Dodgers' left-handed bats. Their right-handed bats are fine too. But one thing I have noticed, and I've been tracking these contests pretty closely because I've been playing them a lot, is the platoon advantages are really heavily weighted by the field. So we have the left-hander Max Fried taking the mound for the Atlanta Braves tonight. So my guess would be, much like when Max Fried played, I think it was the opening game of the series, we saw really low ownerships on Corey Seager. Gavin Lux did not even start that game. Albert Pujols started that game, and he actually might find himself in the starting lineup and then, you know, rotate it out when they go to the bullpen, when they go to a right-hander in the bullpen, they'll reconfigure some things around. But Corey Seager and Gavin Lux, I would expect Seager to be, 25 to 30% owned, really low in the captain, probably 5 to 7% in the captain, and Lux to be even lower than that. And Lux might not even start, by the way. He might be the guy giving his position up for Albert Pujols. It remains to be seen what they do with Pujols, Bellinger, and Lux there. But I think those left-handed Dodgers bats are kind of the way to exploit this slate.
Yeah, I want to dive into Pujols a little more, but you're right. Pujols, I think Dave Roberts said Pujols is starting at first base. I think he said that last night, so there's a good shot of that happening today. All right, so who goes in the MVP slot tonight on FanDuel? I'm going back to Steady Eddie Rosario. Of course I'm going to do this. Like, everybody loves the narrative and they love a good story. I'm not going contrarian on the story of the NLCS right now. I'm just going to put Rosario right back in there, Davis. Who do you got tonight for the MVP?
Yeah, I have my guy, Corey Seager. And you're right. You know, Corey Seager has not been as good in the postseason as his regular season sample, and certainly, you know, nothing close to the unreal sample that he put out for us in 52 games last season, where he hit 15 home runs in 232 plate appearances, had the .394 weighted on base average. But, like, you know, my long-term prior is that Corey Seager is one of the best hitters, period. Not even best hitters for shortstop, but just a really phenomenal hitter. You know, I think he is a guy who's capable of winning an MVP someday. And it's very easy when we're focused on these very micro. I mean, this is so niche. We're not even talking about a 10 game slate in July. We're talking about a one game slate, right? And it's kind of easy to forget those priors and to focus on the really niche stuff. Like, this guy's been hot, this guy's been cold, this guy doesn't have the platoon advantage, this guy does. But my long-term prior is just that Corey Seager is this phenomenal player, and so this offers a way to profit off of that position.
Yeah, Trey Turner a possibility tonight for the Dodgers. They're going to basically need everybody to go off. Closing this out, Davis, so historically speaking, probably right when you started, I'm guessing, playing fantasy baseball, or even, you know, a few years after that, Albert Pujols was pretty much the number one overall pick in fantasy baseball, probably for about 4 years, 5 years. The first couple of years, I don't know if you know this, but he qualified at third. He actually came up as a third baseman. So imagine having that. He actually moved over and played some third. And so this isn't like my farewell bid to Albert Pujols, Davis, but I suppose it is a fair question. The best hitter that we've seen play in baseball in the last 20 years is him. If the Dodgers lose tonight, there's certainly a chance that this is the last game he ever plays in. Do you believe that to be true? Do you believe? I mean, there was an Instagram, I guess his wife had, if you remember, at the beginning of the season, saying that this was his last year, and then immediately took it down, like when it got pointed out. I sort of feel like this is it. I think this could be his very last game. And from a historical perspective, 600 home runs, MVPs, World Series, Rookies of the Year. Like, this is one of the greatest players I've ever seen play. This could be it.
It is. Now, I'm looking at his FanGraphs page, and I'm wondering what milestone left would he want to accomplish that he thinks that he could do in another season or in another two seasons. 679 home runs. So he's 21 home runs away. How many more seasons, how many more plate appearances would Pujols have? I mean, he is, according to FanGraphs, and again, by the way, this has been a rumor for a long time that Pujols is actually older than he's listed at. And again, you know, I don't know, who knows? But how many more plate appearances would he need to get those 21 more home runs? And is that worth, you know, being a part-time player for the Cleveland Indians or whatever?
Yeah, I think he'd need 400. You know, I don't know that he'd get that next year. And I don't know how he'd perform. I mean, you could just see he doesn't look like, I mean, he hit the ball. I think he hit a 110 mile an hour single last night, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know. I kind of felt like with him, and I, you know, again, I know him a little bit. I don't know him enough to make this final call. But Davis, I feel like he just wanted to go out on his own terms. Like, I don't think he liked the way the Angels did him. And he went across town. That, I think that's kind of the guy that he is. I think that he does a one-day contract with St. Louis, and this is it. I think this is his final game tonight. Maybe not his final game. Maybe LA continues on, and we'll see.
What if he just straight up resigns with St. Louis, though? What if it's not a one-day contract, and he signs like a one-year, $4 million Adam Duvall deal with the St. Louis Cardinals and just plays on the bench for them? I actually think, given the fact that he's still playing at 41, I mean, what's the difference between 41 and 42? Let him go back to St. Louis and be a bench player.
Well, we would both agree that DH has to be in the National League for that to happen, right? We have to establish that, right? Like, yes. I mean, he's not.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK, Signos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
That's got to happen.
But if not, and if this is your last game tonight, Albert, one of the best I've ever seen play. I'll be checking it out. We'll come back to Fantasy Reality then. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today we got Fantasy Reality coming up here in just a minute. Davis, T.Y. Hilton, who just returned last week for the Indianapolis Colts, is now questionable this week. He's 50-50 to play. Paris Campbell, who I know you liked, I ended up drafting him. He scored a touchdown last week. I was feeling sort of good about that. He is out and on injured reserve this week. I feel like we don't talk about the injuries to the Colts enough because a lot of their it's like non-skill position players, I guess. Like their defensive backs, their linebackers, their linemen apparently have suffered more injuries than any other team in the NFL this season. But just because Wentz is still there and Jonathan Taylor and most of the fantasy players that we use are still there, I don't think people realize that the Colts are in that spot. I certainly didn't realize it.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. And part of that, I mean, it's got to be on me because I have this anti-Carson Wentz bias. I love to trash on Carson Wentz. He's one of my favorite guys to dunk on. So, you know, it's funny. I'm talking about the Broncos and all the injuries they've suffered because I kind of like Teddy and I like a lot of their skill position guys. So I have like a little bit of positive bias towards them, but I have absolutely no positive bias towards the Indianapolis Colts. So I have never claimed to be fair and balanced on this show. So I will not be held to that standard.
All right. Well, Zach Pascal, I guess fire him up this week along with Michael Pittman for the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, Brett has been very busy here on the show today. We bring him back once more for Fantasy or Reality.
All right, guys, we've got three good questions today, and we're going to start off in the NFL because we have three very big underdogs this week. And Davis, we got to know where you're betting. So the Bears are 12-point dogs, the Texans 17.5-point dogs, the Lions 15-point dogs. Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The best double-digit underdog to bet on this weekend is the Chicago Bears. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I think that it's pretty close between the Bears or the Lions. Obviously the Bears are the team that I, you know, feel the best about, which is indicated by the fact that they are only 12-point underdogs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I would not be betting on the Texans. I think Craig, I think a spread would have to get to 21.5 before I would think about betting on the Texans against any competent NFL team. And you know what? Actually, this is a fun little exercise. Let me look at the Houston Texans schedule and find a game where I would bet on them. You know what? They play at the Dolphins. If the Dolphins get a ton of respect in that game, like if the Dolphins are like a 13.5-point favorite or something there, maybe I would consider the Houston Texans there. But the Texans are like they do what you hate about the Broncos, where they just run the ball and are not aggressive, but they do it with like really terrible players on both sides of the ball. So it just does not make any sense. I'm definitely not betting on the Lions though, because my whole narrative for this week in DFS is that Matt Stafford is going to go absolutely nuclear against his old team. And Craig, Sean McVay loves the narrative. Remember, you know, he used to try and get Gurley the rushing title, and he always makes sure that his guys get the bonuses in their contracts. So I think Stafford is going to go completely nuclear against the Lions. So you know what, Brett, you did a good job here. This is a reality. The best double-digit underdog is the Bears. We're just going to hope they run the ball really well. We're going to hope Fields makes a couple great plays and doesn't think he has a free play when he doesn't. Remember one of his interceptions, he thought I don't even remember who they played, the Packers. He thought the Packers jumped offside, and so he hucked the ball down the field because he thought it was a free play. So we're going to hope that he's able to avoid that this week.
Yeah, this is also between the final two teams that you mentioned, and it really has nothing to do with the fact that Houston is such a big underdog. By the way, there's no way Miami's two touchdown favorites over Houston, so you can forget that. But there's no way I could back Houston at this point. And Houston, by the way, has covered, I think, two or three spreads this season. So, I mean, let's give them credit for that. You know, Detroit is really interesting because I can almost envision a game that, you know, they have played some close games, but the recency bias of watching that game against Cincinnati last week has me really worried that Detroit, you know, it's kind of tuned out the whole Dan Campbell thing. You know, like that was working for a while. The other team was going up big. Campbell was bringing them back. They're staying in the game. And then, you know, last week it kind of went the other way. Can the Bears beat the Buccaneers this week? I mean, I don't think so, but I'm going to say reality. I'm going to say that you know, look, is, you know, after watching the film of Fields last week, my God, he cannot be worse this week. It's not possible for him to be worse this week than it was last week. And the Bucs, they've kept some teams in games. Let's be honest. Like, the teams have played okay against them. They keep winning every game, but the games have been close sometimes. So I'll say reality here. Not really an indication of just because this is the smallest spread of the three, just because I do think that the Bears are probably the best team of the big dogs, and Tampa's lines are just so inflated. So I'll say reality.
All right, our next question, we're going over to the NBA because there are some big storylines coming out of New York and Philadelphia. Obviously, Kyrie Irving missing from the Brooklyn Nets. Now we've got Ben Simmons getting thrown out of practice, getting suspended by the team. Philadelphia actually won last night, though. Brooklyn 0-1 on the year. Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Ben Simmons will cause more drama than Kyrie Irving this season? Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, it's interesting. I think this is going to be a reality. I think that the longer this goes with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, I think that he, intelligently enough, understands that he's seen what happened with James Harden. And I've talked about this before. We forgot. We've seen what happened with Jimmy Butler, who Jimmy Butler is like the model guy right now, Davis, in Miami, the leader, the star. Like, does everybody remember what happened, how Jimmy Butler got himself out 2 years ago? So I just simply don't think we're going to hear from Kyrie Irving until he decides to come back and decides inevitably. It looks like the only way he can come back at this point is by being vaccinated. I think it'll be very simple. We won't hear from him, or he'll just get his shots and he'll be back on the court. I think this Ben Simmons thing is going to drag until he's traded. I don't see anything changing. I think that more suspensions and more craziness is going to happen with him. He clearly wants out. He will get out. He will be traded. It's just a matter of when. But I do think that this could linger a little bit. So I'll say reality.
No, I think this is a fantasy because Ben Simmons does not have the he does not have the same type of personality where like Kyrie loves to sit down for these interviews or get on Instagram Live and just start talking, right? Kyrie just loves to talk, loves to hear his own voice, you know, and look, you know, good for him. Like a lot of the things Kyrie Irving has done that has annoyed people, I've actually been on his side with, right? Like, you know, he took time off for like mental health reasons last year for the Brooklyn Nets, and people were, you know, giving him a really hard time. And I was like, you know what, that, like, to me, that is objectively a fine decision for him to make. I have no issue with that. But the reason why this is false is that, Craig, can you think in your head of like what Ben Simmons' voice even sounds like? Can you remember a Ben Simmons press conference, right? No one actually cares what Ben Simmons has to say. All they care about is kind of his relationship to the organization. But Kyrie will be on TV. You know, he's going to go on people's podcasts. He's got Kevin Durant white knighting him on Twitter, right? Durant is logging on Twitter after these games and telling people they're stupid because they don't understand how good Kyrie Irving is. So Kyrie is for sure going to cause more drama. And then I guess the other layer to this conversation is that the Nets are supposed to be the title favorites. The Philadelphia 76ers are like the seventh best team in the NBA, something like that. So the fact that the Nets are supposed to be the best team is going to make the Kyrie Irving absence even more dramatic.
All right. Our last question of the day revolves around Dr. Dre because actually this one's kind of sad. Dr. Dre was laying his grandmother to rest and he was served divorce papers by his ex-wife. So Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Serving divorce papers during a funeral is 100% wrong. There is no good way to do it, but absolutely 0% chance you can do it at a funeral. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, you know, I feel like obviously getting served is not fun, but most people get served at work, I think. But I guess, you know, maybe a lot more people working at home and stuff like that. Maybe it is a little bit more difficult to serve people at work. I would say doing it at a funeral is definitely wrong. Well, is this a funeral of a family member? Is this like your wife that died, your mom that died, your sibling that died? Or is this like your friend's brother or something like there should be shades to this, right? Like getting served a funeral for someone who is really close to someone you're close with, but you don't really know them that well. Maybe that takes the sting out a little bit, but yeah, I would say this is certainly much more wrong than right.
What's funny is that between the three of us, none of the three of us, as far as I know, have ever been divorced. So it's like we probably are not the right people to ask this question. We probably should be asking someone else. But here's the way that I see it, is that it's 100% is too black and white here, because I think every situation is different. Now, is it a horrible scene to get served while your grandmother dies and you are burying her? Of course it's a horrible scene. But what are the circumstances beyond this? That's not exactly what we know. There seems to be so many layers to this Dr. Dre ex-wife story, Davis, that I can't even begin to tell you. It's like on the one hand, it seems as though this is horrible. On the other hand, it seems as though she couldn't find him to be able to serve him. And then on the other hand, I've seen stories where, if I'm not mistaken, his ex-wife is asking for like just some insane amount of money every single month that would like, and Dr. Dre has an insane amount of money. He has more money than anyone in the history of the industry that's not named Jay-Z, right? Like that is just true. I'm going to say that it's not 100% and that it's a fantasy and that there's different situations that call for different people to do things. This is obviously a woman who's being very vindictive, but not knowing the entire story, not knowing whether or not this exorbitant amount of money is something she deserves or not. It's more for TMZ than it is for us, but I can't go 100% on it because Davis, I mean, we really don't know the whole story here. So there, it is a layered deal here, I think.
Yeah, you know, it like what this is just a good lesson for all of us to learn, right? Pretty much everything in life, there are shades of gray, right? And look, B, I think it's very hard to serve people because they know when you're coming. So like you can't serve someone at home. They just know, don't answer the door, don't go to the window, whatever. So and people are still, you know, look, hey, COVID-19, still real. People are not leaving their house as often. So it's probably hard to serve some people.
Must be. This Dr. Dre's ex is going to be very wealthy eventually when this is all said and done, for sure. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. And coming up next, we have the Sports Grid 60. And then, of course, don't forget, Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, I'll be right back with you here along with Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker for Fantasy Sports Today's weekend edition. But Davis has got a hot and heavy Sports Grid 60 for you.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
So he will deliver that to you next. And then, of course, we'll be right back here tomorrow, right here on another edition of the Friday Football Fantasy Sports Today. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our final block here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. Before we get out of here, a reminder for everyone to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. I know you're all sad that the show is over for today, but definitely you need to stay on the grid, stay up to date with all the news, notes, line movements, injuries, all that stuff. And you can get all of it by following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. You could also follow at Sports Grid on Instagram. Wrapping up the Sports Grid 60 here today, a reminder for all of us. This is a reminder for myself, really. We don't talk a ton about Dynasty Fantasy Football on this show, but I know I play in a bunch of them. I know you guys play in a bunch of them. I know Craig plays in a bunch of them. And we are kind of getting to the point of the season where you got to decide, can I win it this year? Can I not win it this year? Is my team good? Is my team bad? And a reminder for your bad teams, because I know that, look, I have some bad Dynasty Fantasy Football teams, injuries, you know, it happens to the best of us. And there is kind of this fallacy that we do when we head into making trades. And this is true in all fantasy formats, right? Fantasy football, dynasty, baseball, basketball, hockey, all of it. And there definitely is a difference between winning a trade in terms of value and improving your roster. Sometimes you might lose a trade that you might lose a trade on the surface, right? You lose the value, but it helps your roster and you end up scoring more points in the end. I made a trade this offseason where I traded away Chris Carson for Mark Andrews in a dynasty league. I didn't have any running backs to start, but I got the player that was going to score the most amount of points in the end. It actually ended up hurting me. So a reminder as you enter into trade negotiations in all of your dynasty fantasy football leagues, definitely don't try to win every deal in the context of winning it immediately, scoring the most points. But sometimes you just need to do the thing that makes the most sense for your roster. Everyone, we're going to sign off here at Fantasy Sports Day on Sports Grid TV. Thank you to Craig Mish for joining me, talking about everything going on in the world of sports right now. Thank you to our producer, Brett Levy. Thanks to everyone at LTN. Stay on the grid. We'll see you back tomorrow.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.